Well, the Merovingian kings are often looked upon as essentially one of a number of Germanic kingdoms. You have them in Italy and Spain. The Spanish one, the Visigoths, is brought down by the Arabs. The one in Italy, the Ostrogoths, are brought down by the Byzantines. Succeeded to late Roman institutions. The really first precocious, even political order, synthesis, was forged by the Carolingian monarchs. And the Carolingians had originally started out as what are known as the major domo, which means nothing more than the greater man of the household, the top honcho in the royal household of the Merovingian kings. And a succession of extremely able major domos, starting with Charles Martel, who defeated an Arabic attack from Spain in 732, his son Pepin the Short, consolidated power in Gaul, which is far more than France, includes sections of eastern Germany and the Low Countries. And the most notable achievement was that Pepin the Short also claimed the kingship as a result of the Rite of Victories. And this was legitimized by securing a papal coronation. Now, there are a number of reasons why Pope Stephen II agreed to this. One, he arranged an alliance with the Frankish king to invade Italy and take out the Lombards, who were a danger to papal authority in central Italy. And in return, Pepin gave the papacy the so-called donation of Pepin. That was the lands of central Italy that became ultimately the papal states. In the case of Pepin, he needed the legitimacy. He needed to justify the usurpation of a hereditary kingship. And what better way than to get the sanction of the Pope, who was without question the most impressive figure in Western Europe at the time. There were other reasons involving Byzantine religious and political confusion we need not go into. Well, Pepin's son, Charlemagne, proved to be the man who essentially recreated an imperial order in Western Europe for the first time in over three centuries. He built the great Carolingian Empire. He campaigned tirelessly. He brought regions of Germany under control, notably northwestern Germany, Saxony, which was still pagan, campaigned across the Elbe into the lands of the Slavic peoples, moved into Italy, subdued the Lombards, and incorporated northern and central Italy into his empire. He crossed the Pyrenees to drive back the Arab raiders and advance the frontier of his empire to the upper reaches of the Ebro, which is the northernmost river of Spain, and therefore got into contact with that kingdom of Asturias. Now, Charlemagne's important for a variety of reasons, not only because of the territorial extent of his empire, but also the ambitions of what this empire was supposed to represent. On Christmas Day 800, he was crowned Holy Roman Emperor, or more accurately, Emperor of the Romans. This was another papal coronation, but it put Charlemagne in a whole new level. It didn't magically change Carolingian institutions, which still remain primarily local, but it certainly marked out Charlemagne and his heirs as successor to a Christian Roman vision of empire. And that's an important point to stress, because that vision will persist through the Middle Ages. And it had a number of important implications. For one, Charlemagne insisted on hereditary succession. This was by no means clear in the early Middle Ages, and it still was being debated at the time of the Crusades, whether monarchs were hereditary or elective, going back to an old Germanic principle. In addition, Charlemagne intended and succeeded in transmitting his domains to his son, Louis the Pious, a rather unfortunate name. Any Carolingian monarch named the Pious is usually quite weak. He's generally favored by monastic chroniclers, but otherwise is inept. Louis the Pious succeeded as the next emperor, and this too was an issue that was raised because in medieval kingdoms, very often territory was partitioned. It was treated as private property. It was parceled out. This was the history of Merovingian kingship. A king would come to power. He would divide the domains among three or four sons. They would fight, reassemble the domains. Once again, it would be divided. And through the whole Middle Ages, we'll see this played out even in the in Outremer, in the regions that the Crusaders will take, that there was always this tension. Is the monarchy actually private property that can be broken up among the heirs, or is it a single unit? Is there a crown? An abstract monarchy, the crown, that goes to a designated heir apparent, and in his absence, an heir presumptive.